for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that brings joy. Lord, joy and peace, happiness in you, Father. We just declare that over their lives. And Lord, if there's anything in each individual, Lord, that needs to be dealt with or needs to come to light that's stopping that joy, I pray by the Holy Spirit, you would show each individual what that would be, Father God, because it has nothing to do with our circumstances. Paul, who said, rejoice in the Lord, was in a prison when he said that. Nehemiah, who was trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, was saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so, Lord, we pray for that strength tonight. Those in this room, Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, just the wind of your Holy Spirit, just refreshing and bringing joy and peace. Amen. Thank you for that, Father. We worship you and honor you. We thank you for peace. Thank you, Father, for peace. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How we honor and worship you, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we rely on you, not the works of the flesh. Lord, in our flesh, we can't walk in joy. But by your Holy Spirit, Father, we can walk in your joy and in your strength, once again, regardless of our circumstances. So we thank you, Father, for joy in this holiday Christmas season. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes, it is. Thank
Father, we thank you for joy. Joy overflowing in the name of Jesus. Joy overflowing, Father God, abundance of joy. Let me just read that scripture. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Lord, thank you that the church is stepping into a fresh season of understanding the power of the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
Resurrection power, not by the works of the flesh, but by your Spirit working through us, Father God. We thank you for that, God.
Amen.
Regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of what side of the tracks you were born on, the power of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you
Amen.
Into his purposes for our lives. Amen. As we've talked many, many times on Wednesday nights and even mentioned on Sunday morning, the things that God had prepared for each individual before the foundation of the world, predestination, election. God wants everybody to come to him, but he knows those that are, and he has a purpose for them. Amen? And we thank you for that, God. And while we're walking that purpose, Lord, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Before you're seated, Father, thank you for touching Kathy Dunnington. Just Kathy Dunnington. Thank you for, we just continue to stand with her and for her. In the name of Jesus, no, we speak life over her. Life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So, Father, right now, we take authority over any type of spirit of death. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of infirmity, we command you to go in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would just start to bubble in her soul with joy. Even in these circumstances, we ask for joy and for your strength. We thank you for that, that right now, she can fill the prayers of the saints, our sister in the Lord. And so for we declare that, Lord. We thank you for the testimony. We believe that the enemy will have to restore to her sevenfold what he's tried to take from her, Lord. And so we thank you for the blessing that's coming her way. And Father, we pray for this Supreme Court hearing of Roe versus Wade or abortion in Mississippi. Father, we just pray for life right now in Jesus' name. We pray for those on the Supreme Court, Father, who are under the pressure of a spirit of the world, under a pressure of the spirit of death. And so, Lord, we pray that those who know the truth, Father God, would stand up for the truth, would stand up for the truth in Jesus' name, Father God. And we pray that it would start a snowball effect, Father God, of life, of righteousness in Christ Jesus, of truth in our nation, Lord. We thank you that things are being turned around in Jesus' name. You're exposing darkness with light, Lord. And when light comes into darkness, the darkness has to flee. So we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you so much for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you hear our prayers, that you answer prayers. Thank you for bringing prayer back to the house of the Lord. Even Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. Of course, the house right here, right? Everybody's a house. Remember that song, Who's in the House? Some of you remember, right? Jesus Christ. Who sang that, Carmen? Who's in the house? So, Father, we thank you for that. A house of prayer. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love the Lord tonight. It's good to be here on a Wednesday in December. 70 degrees during the day. Feels wonderful. It's like we're in Hawaii. And the wind's not even blowing. That's what's amazing to me. The wind is not blowing. So we're on session 5 of the book of John. And you know, we've made it to verse 10. We're making tracks. Amen. What a wonderful gospel John is, right? You remember, if you hadn't been here, they don't know that just church history tells us that John wrote this book, the Apostle John, going back to like 200 or 300 A.D., people that, or 150 A.D., people that knew Jesus, that knew John, said, yeah, he wrote that book. He claims to have written that book. But he only identifies himself in the book of John as, how does he identify himself? Yes, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And isn't it amazing, because isn't it kind of flipped from what the law says? What's that first law of the Ten Commandments? Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Did I get it? And then to have him with... open up this book we'll get to today, saying, you know, Moses brought the law, but Jesus brought grace, but not just grace, it said, and truth, grace and truth. So him identify himself 5 times in the book of John, saying, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then remember I mentioned that if you go to the First John, right, his epistle, First John, has 5 chapters, and he mentions the word love 33 times. Do you think he had an understanding of love? You know, sometimes I'll still read in the Word, and the word love comes up, and sometimes I got to be careful. I'll start thinking of love as something weak or maybe kind of mushy. But you know, love really is not an emotion, right? You know, if you have a successful marriage, that love is not an emotion. You get over that maybe before you even get back from a honeymoon, right? I'm just saying, love being a choice, love being something who God is, amen? God is love. He is love. So his love being in us, faith, hope, and love, these three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Love allows you to overlook my shortcomings and still love me, and vice versa. How powerful is love, amen? So this being John, the only... the only apostle who didn't die a martyr's death, by the way. Church history says they tried to kill him, tried to boil him, right? Because he couldn't kill him. And ends up, they say, in Ephesus, in the church of Ephesus is where they say he passed away. Those 7 churches, by the way, the 7 churches that you read about in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, they're all located in modern-day Turkey, all of those right now. So a lot going on during that time with the gospel. And how many of us know that God is doing, in this day and age, is doing a lot in that part of the world again with the gospel? Amen? Amen. So John chapter 1, the New American Standard Bible, verse 10. Now, he was in the world. He's talking. He said, he was in the world, talking about Jesus, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came, and then it says he came to his own, And his own people did not accept him. You think about the time when Jesus showed up on the scene. We know that the Jewish people were eagerly awaiting what? Their Savior, the Messiah, right? Yeshua to show up in the flesh. But the way that God did it as far as where he was born, right? Born in a manger. The king of all the world being born in a manger. We're coming up to Christmas, so we see those nativity scenes. Did I say it right, nativity? Where Jesus being born in a manger. So the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but in the flesh, he was born as a below common, not even a common. There was no room in the inn for him, right? So he wasn't even born a common birth, being born in a barn. You've heard the saying, were you raised in a barn? Jesus could almost say yes. And then having to flee to Egypt for a few years. And then coming back, born in Bethlehem. And then as he was being raised, as he claimed to be the Son of God, what was the saying? Can anything good come from Nazareth where he was raised? We don't read anywhere where Jesus corrects him and say, wait a second, I'm from Bethlehem. Doesn't do it. It seems like every tripping block to say that he was not the Son of God was put up. Everything, because it wasn't according to the flesh. It was the spirit. Remember this past Sunday, we said that according to the flesh, he was an heir of King of David. But according to the spirit, he was risen from the dead. Hallelujah. If it was just in the flesh, he would have been just a normal man. That promised, Davidical promise that you'll have an heir that always will be on the throne. And then Jesus and then Mary being impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then everything he did during his life in the flesh tripped up mankind to say, this can't be him. He looks so common. He did miracles. But then turn around, has no place to lay his head. He didn't look like we see Jesus in the pictures where with the long blonde hair. And the bright, beautiful blue eyes, right? Might have had just dark hair, dark eyes, common. Nobody would have picked him out of a crowd for nothing. Nothing. For anyway, so they did it. They did not accept him. It did not meet their requirements in the flesh, what it should look like in the flesh. You know what? We want to make sure in this day and age that you and I are not along that same mindset. We'll talk about a little bit more Sunday that everything has to make sense in the flesh. What God does in our midst, what he does in our families, in our life. Sometimes it's easy to say, God, you've got to do it this way. But I'm telling you, God doesn't have to do it anyway according to the flesh. He can change it right now. A matter of fact, even what's going on in this nation, I have a sneaky suspicion that what God is going to do in him sparing and his mercy in this nation just might surprise everybody, because it's not going to be done according to the flesh. Amen? But yet God's going to do something. If his saints are praying, if people repenting, when I say repenting, saying, Lord, I admit I was asleep when all of this, what's going on in the nation, was happening. But he's waking up his church, amen? So Lord, as you work in your church now, it's going to look different. It's going to be according to the Spirit. He's going to be working powerfully through his Spirit. And he's going to be working through people that the world, the people of the flesh are going to say, I can't believe what I've seen. And God loves that. You know what, as we move forward, realize that if you're going to look at yourself as far as success or what you're capable of in the flesh, you're in trouble. So for many of us, it's like, well, I'm not going far. The ceiling's not very high, right? We know people of the world, their ceiling is based upon how hard they work, what they do, everything they accomplish. It's dependent upon the flesh, the mind of the flesh. For you and I, it is dependent upon the Spirit of God working through us. And accomplishing dreams and visions, if there's things that God has placed within you that are dreams and visions, if it's comfortable in your flesh, it's probably not God. Because he'll break that ceiling open, take you right above that ceiling, and say, let me show you what I can do through you, son and daughter. Amen? The church walking in the Spirit, according to the the grace of God. Amen? Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised and rejected by men. We're talking about that they didn't know him, right? His own people. The people of the world and then the people in Israel. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and pain and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or esteem him. So his time on this earth was spent being rejected. His own brothers and sisters mocked him. Remember some of the times where his brothers and sisters says, why don't you go up to Jerusalem and show them who you are and tell them who you are? And so you saw for example after example, the world saying, if you're God, do this. If you're God, show us this. If you're God, get off of that cross. The whole time looking after everything after the flesh. Because the law, if you're going to follow the law, it's all dependent on what you can do in your flesh. And as the leaders of Jerusalem that time were so morally and spiritually bankrupt, but yet were trying to follow the law to the T, were the most blindest individuals at that time, seeing nothing after the Spirit, seeing nothing into the Spirit, not seeing what God was doing beyond what Jesus looked like, beyond the group that he hung out with. I don't think that his group that he was hanging out with was very well known. I don't think there was people that were saying, yeah, if I am the Son of God and come to earth, this is the crew I would pick. Fishermen, tax collectors, amen? People so very common, who then when Jesus rose again and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, did extraordinary things. Amen? You're an extraordinary person. I'm an extraordinary person because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The mind of the flesh, the desires of the flesh that tell us what direction to go or what we can accomplish is something that we have to lay down and say, God, anything is possible through you that dwells in me. Amen? Anything that is possible through him that dwells in me. Jesus being rejected by virtually everybody. A handful of people. A handful of women that loved him dearly. Other than that, nobody believed or knew he was the Son of God. Even after the miracles they performed, they said it wasn't enough. It's not enough. When our God comes, it's not going to look like this. Amen. Amen. Verse 12. But as many as received him, how many here have received him? Hallelujah. To them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Amen. Aren't you glad you believe in his name? That you're a child of God? Who were born not of blood. This is the thing with the flesh again. Amen. The thing of the flesh. These who were, verse 14, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again by the will of God. Amen. 1 John 3:1-2 says, talking about us being believers, being born again. See how great a love the Father has given us that we would be called children of God. And in fact, we are. I love that he doesn't just say we're children of God. He says, in fact, we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. But we're going to go down a little bit of a road right now because it said that they saw his, it'll talk about he came in his glory on the earth. It talks about you and I being children of God, but the Holy Spirit living in us. Otherwise, besides God working through us, amen, the power of God working through us, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, how are we different than anybody else in the world? After the flesh, we're not, amen? You and I are common human beings after the flesh, but by the Spirit, we're totally, totally transformed. Totally changed. Did you know people that aren't born again, their spirit is just dead. There's no life there. There's absolutely no life. There's nothing to look forward to but this earth. But you and I have in this deposit of the Holy Spirit We have a great hope anchored in him, not only living in a blessing in this world, but what he has for us in the coming world. Philippians 3, 20 and 21, a reminder. For our citizenship, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is where? Is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Man, the things that are coming our way, the glorified body that you and I have, that's the last step. Did you know that? Death is conquered, and we receive a glorified body. It says that we will be like him in other scriptures. So the Word made flesh, Christ's earthly glory. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, they saw that glory there, his earthly glory. I don't know about you. When you see, we'll read another couple of verses of scripture from Revelation, but just in your mind right now, when you think of Jesus, what do you see? It's easy to maybe see what we've seen on television. What's that popular series right now? The Chosen. So that was a certain type of glory that he had on the earth as he revealed the Father, as he did miracles, amen? But that's not the glory he lives in right now, or what Jesus looks like right now. Now, after 6 days, Matthew 17, 1 and 2, a little bit of what his glory looked like on the earth or what it looked like in heaven that Peter, James, and John saw. It says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So transformed, that means there for a moment he was changed. He was transfigured. He was different in the presence of God. He's perfect and holy. He was there with Moses and Elijah and with his father, and his whole body said it was transformed, transfigured. For a moment, just a little bit of his glory, his heavenly glorious body was seen. So much that it scared the apostles at that time. It scared them to death what they saw. So that Greek word for transfigured means that it was changed, transfigured, transformed. For a moment they saw a little bit of what his heavenly body would look like. But what does his heavenly body look like right now? I want to read this. This is powerful because of things that we see on TV, we think of Jesus on earth. Would you admit that? If you see it in your mind, maybe? Well, let's see what we saw. We know that John saw him on the earth, right? And we know that John saw him on the Mount Transfiguration. So he saw Jesus' glory and power. And then see the response of what John had when he saw Jesus in his glory in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. It says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, this is Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded above the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So just imagine looking into the sun. His countenance was like the sun. And his countenance like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Hallelujah. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So when he saw Jesus in his glory, now it says he was like a dead man. Is the fire in his eyes, the brightness that comes off of Jesus that you and I couldn't even look at, the power that exists in him now, being at the right hand of the Father, who was at the beginning when God made the heavens and the earth, amen. He's no longer looks like a man on television that we see or we put in our mind. He is in all his glory and power right now, amen. All-powerful, King of kings, Lord of lords. Even though he had a certain glory while he was on the earth, that was to fulfill a purpose of dying for our sins, showing what the Father looked like on the earth as he healed people, but is not the glory that he is in right now. Amen? Satan, all the demons in hell could not stand in front of God right now in his glory. They flee from his light. They flee from his glory. They flee from his holiness and his presence that he is right now. It's so magnificent when we think about how Jesus is perfect, without sin, holy. Sin cannot dwell in his presence, but yet by his Holy Spirit, we have a little bit of that glory in our vessels right now. Isn't that amazing? And such a little bit of glory that can get us through this life victorious and in power and walking in his strength and joy. There is nothing that can stand in the way of the believer as far as the battle of the enemy that can be victorious except what we let be victorious. That glory, those eyes, that power, the illuminating light from him that we couldn't even stand at, a little bit of that dwells in you and I. Amen. All powerful, all glorious. And it says that we don't know what we're going to be yet, but we know when he comes again that we're going to be like him. Could you imagine our resurrected body, what it's going to look like? Thank God it's not going to look like anything I got now. Right? A resurrected, glorious body. You know, he's designed us to walk in his joy and his strength while we're here on the earth. Did you know that? We have our battles. But as we mature in him, as the gig is up with the enemy's lies in our lives, as God's word is planted in us, as we're family together, church, we grow in his, grow in maturity, the Lord wants us to walk in constant joy, constant peace, constant strength. Did you know that's what the Lord wants? He wants us walking in the consistency of the fruit of the Spirit, the consistency of that Spirit living in us, coming forth, bubbling with the joy of the Lord, bubbling with his strength. And I understand it's not a perfection, or it's not easy to live there, but I know that God's designed us to live there. I know that God in this hour, in this age, as he is revealing grace and truth, amen, unmerited favor being the grace, and one of the truths being, I designed you with the Spirit inside you to walk in my joy, peace, and my strength. To be victorious over every battle of the enemy. Because he's a liar, he's a thief, and he doesn't have near the glory and power that our God has. Nothing. You know, it says that it's going to be one angel. It's going to take one angel, toss his carcass into the lake of fire. It's not going to take a legion of angels. It's going to take one angel to throw him to the lake of fire forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Colossians 1:27 says, living within you is the Christ who floods. This is the Passion Translation. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us, amen, becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for this people, for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. To know it. Amen. To be becoming more and more aware of his presence in our life. More and more understanding that, Lord, my emotions are under my control. Lord, I'm not going to let my mind embrace when I have problems. I'm going to be rooted and grounded in you and be established in you so that I can walk in your understanding and your strength and your peace. You ever had it when things may be going wrong or difficult circumstances and you can, there might be a little bit of anxiety. You ever had where your mind can start spinning? You can't think right? Is that my only one that's ever experienced that? And that's what the enemy does. When the flesh is in control, we start spinning, and the next thing you know, our mind could be spinning with it. But as we grow in him, we say, wait a second, no more. No more of that. I'm established in him. Amen? Right from the beginning, I'm growing in him. Lord, your presence is leading and guiding me. I'm not allowing that spinning to happen in these situations. Am I saying that it's perfect and it's something that just happens right now? No. But as the Spirit of God in you starts making you aware of these things, you start saying, nope, I'm not going there. I'm not allowing my mind to get on that merry-go-round. Start spinning faster. I'm the only one that's ever experienced that, huh? But God's Spirit embedded in us, living in us, amen? Growing us in him, amen? Growing in him. I find it interesting. I may read it in Ephesians chapter 4 where it talks about how pastors or whatever are just here to help equip the saints for what God's called them. And if you continue to read it, it talks about, hey, you're only going to come into maturity when you're in a group of believers. You're only going to come into what God has for you, maturity, in a group of believers. The wisdom of man says, no, that's not true because that sounds silly. Being with a group of believers or church, you're telling me I'm going to mature in Christ or mature in the thing spiritually. I'm saying absolutely that is how God designed it first and foremost. Amen. You know, the Hebrew scripture says, hey, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and even so more as the end approaches. Something about you and I being together does something in us. I mean, I know we have our Mondays when I'm not there or you're not there, but something about the times that we get together, God does something in us. Because if you read in that Ephesians 4, it says that we're all joined together like ligaments. And we're giving nourishment to one another. We're giving nourishment to one another. It says, and that's how you grow into the fullness of Christ. What is that fullness? Just maturity. Sometimes we'll think of fullness and we don't even think about it. What's that mean? Does it just mean knowledge? Does it mean just to know a bunch of stuff from the Bible? No, it means that you're growing in him so when the battles come, you are victorious. You're walking in his strength. You're walking in his joy. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So me and you are just clay, right? Take dirt and spit on it and you can turn it into clay. That's not how God did it. He breathed into Adam, right? I think you and I are like 60 or 70% water, by the way. This tent we live in is mostly water with some mixture of dirt. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Where's that treasure? Your spirit, man, isn't it? Surpassing power of God. Verse 15, John testifies about him, who's him, Jesus, and called out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who is coming after me has proved to be my superior because he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received. Amen. Who's received of his fullness here? I have. How about you? For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Don't you love it? Grace upon grace. He could have just said grace, huh? But he said grace upon grace. Don't you love his grace? His grace is part of that thing. One of the biggest things I've noticed about when you grow in God is that grace is the only way you can walk into maturity. You can walk into maturity, confidence in him, even having areas of your life still a struggle. Amen? And you're there because of his grace. We're seated in heavenly places with him because only because of the blood of the Lamb, which we obtained his grace. And it's grace upon grace. And to be honest, it's this way. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. His mercies are new every morning. Amen? Aren't you glad that his mercies are new every morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, regardless of the day before, saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, I am your child. And today is another grace upon grace. I had grace for yesterday, but Jesus says, hey, just worry about today, not to tomorrow. Walk in today's grace. Hallelujah. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Amen. This grace is what saved us. It's what makes us right with him. And as the Lord has been showing me, we have this grace, and these truths is what he's revealing in our lives that are growing us up in him. These truths are what he's releasing and showing us that is bringing us into maturity in him. Amen. Amen and amen. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says, we have received his fullness through faith, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Isn't faith powerful? You guys realize how powerful faith is? Amen. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. How many of you want to hear, want to comprehend? Lord, thank you that we comprehend, and we're comprehending more and more. I believe every day, each day. You know, the time is short. We don't know when he's going to come. We really don't. Time is short. And as he grows us into him every day, amen. Rooted and grounded love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Did you see with all the saints? We're included with all the saints. No holy hobos, right? Not by ourselves, right? Rooted and grounded together says, comprehend with all the saints what is the width, amen, the length, and height, and depth. And to know the love of Christ, which what? Surpasses knowledge. I mean, it surpasses flesh. It surpasses the ideals of what we can comprehend in our mind. What our flesh, what our feelings can comprehend. It says it's beyond. You can't grasp his surpassing knowledge and love that he has for us. That you may be filled to all the fullness. It just doesn't say filled. It says filled to all the fullness. Amen? Filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Amen? Wow. Let me say that again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Beyond what we can think, there it is, beyond what our flesh. You know, Lord, let us not be bound or be, what's the word I'm looking for, where we can only go as far as the, but beyond that, because our mind can't comprehend his love. If our minds can't comprehend the things that he wants to do for us, that he's willing to do for us, amen? Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask, beyond what you can ask, amen? Beyond what you can ask. One thing I taught a couple weeks ago in prayer, we need to start asking the Lord again, amen? We've already started asking the Lord for this nation, asking the Lord for loved ones, asking for him to reveal himself to us, asking, amen? Somehow in religion it's come to this thing where somehow it's wrong to ask, or you're spoiled if you're asked, or, you know, quit asking. Why are you always just asking? I think the Lord loves when we ask of him, amen? Because the word says right here that he does beyond all that we ask or think. beyond anything that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So that asking and thinking, those answered prayers, those things that he's doing, it's within us, amen? It's within us. It's not out there somewhere. It's here. Now, as you probably know, if you've been at this church at any given time, that we praise and worship him, we're not asking him to come from far, you know, from some far-off universe or planet. He's here within us. We're just worshiping, and his word says where two or three are gathered together, he's already in our midst. Amen? We're not asking to come in on a wave or on a surfboard of the Spirit or the wings of an eagle. Amen? He is here. He is already here in our midst. And then when you leave, we leave, we all take him with us. Amen? We all take him with us. Once again, I just want to read that, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Lord, let us not be held back by what we think, that you're able to do beyond what we could ask or think for this nation. But beyond anything we could ask or think for family. Beyond anything we could ask or think in our finances. Hallelujah. In our finances. Lord, beyond anything we could ask or think in delivering us from things that would try to hang on to us. Amen. Beyond all of that. Beyond anything we could ask or think. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Can we stand up? I think I want to stop. I just want to read that again, amen. Lord, I just pray that this would be in our spirits tonight. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And Lord, the power that works within us. And Lord, the glory that you have, Lord, beyond anything on this earth. Lord, your eyes like fire, illuminating the hair being as white with light. If we could even imagine anything about what you'd look like, Lord, but yet we're seated with that in heavenly places. Lord, what is sitting on the throne in heaven looks nothing like what we see in the movies or pictures. I'm not saying those are not good. That was Jesus' humanity as he died on the cross, but that's not who you are now. You don't look anything like that. Nothing like that. But yet we're seated with you and that God and that Jesus in heavenly places. Father, let us see that. Lord, you can do beyond anything we can even think or imagine. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, as you, by your Holy Spirit, begin to stir our hearts, Father, to start seeing beyond what we see, the fleshly eyes, beyond what we can think in our mind, Father God. Lord, that we'll go beyond those things that would hold us back. It's easy, or it's a troublesome thing sometimes, because we think, can God do that? We can do beyond that, because you can't even think about what he can do beyond that. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, for revealing that by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, beyond anything we can ask or think. And Lord, we thank you for that. We love you. We worship you. We honor you today. We thank you for the church of Jesus Christ, Father God. We thank you for brothers and sisters who love you. Father, we thank you for brothers and sisters who love us. Father, we thank you for those, Lord, that are with us, Father God, pulling the same weight, Lord, as we look for you to change this nation, Father God, as we look at you moving in our lives, Father God. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for being seated in heavenly places. And we honor you and praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's saints said, amen and amen.